1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 2. From the beginning of our study in 1 Thessalonians, we've had a specific name for this church. Not the church at Thessalonica, but we said it was what kind of a church? What was unique about this church? We've used the description, we've called it a miracle church. The only record we have of Paul's ministry there were three Sabbath days, and yet as he went in and ministered and folks got saved and a church was started, we read in chapter 1 that this church was an amazing church. It was a church that turned to God from idols. They had a life change. They had a faith that worked. They had love that labored. They had patience or hope that endured. They were a church whose testimony spread all around Greece. In fact, as Paul traveled in Greece, he said, you know what? I go to all these places. They've already heard the gospel from this church at Thessalonica. It was a great church. Paul had had a great ministry there, and it was a life-changing ministry. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of ministry in somebody's life? Obviously, their greatest need is salvation, first of all. But, you know, when I lead someone to Christ, I want their life to be changed. I want them to go on for the Lord and for them to get in church and to grow spiritually and become what God wants them to be. And that's what happened at Thessalonica. Now, as you remember, Paul is under attack. He's had to flee Thessalonica because of persecution, and he's under attack. They are saying all kinds of things about him, and he's writing this letter to defend what he did. And in chapter 2, he is going to show us his ministry, his conduct in Thessalonica. And folks, if you want to have an impact on people's lives like Paul did, then we need to be the same kind of people like Paul was. We need to do the things that he did. And we're going to see those very clearly here in chapter 2. So let's start in chapter 2. We've already covered 1 through 4. Notice verse 5. Paul is talking in this passage about his conduct and the record of his conduct in the church. And again, folks, if you're going to impact lives for Christ, by the way, is that not your desire? I hope it is. If your only desire is to make money and get lots of stuff, you're going to be happy in this life, but when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be miserable. And every believer, folks, our desire ought to be to impact lives for Christ. Give folks the gospel. Try to see them converted. Disciple them. Build them in the faith. And that's what Paul did here. Let's see what his conduct was. Verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous to you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. We may get through that, and if we do, we'll move on. I'm ready to go through verse 12, but we may run out of time. But you notice a couple negative things in verse 5. He said we didn't use flattering words. Now, we know what that means today. Probably the meaning there was, one commentator said, tailoring the truth to fit popular opinion. Tailoring the truth to fit popular opinion. You know what? Paul said, I gave you the truth no matter what. Now look, folks. When you try to win people to Christ, what do they need? They need the truth. I already mentioned the verse in John. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I tell you, folks, we're living in a day when the truth is being abandoned in religion. Two times, I think the first one occurred maybe last week as I was reading the news and reading about the Pope. Now, the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra, he is speaking for God, they say. Okay? What's the latest thing that he's backed down on? Yeah. Abortion and homosexuality and evolution. Now, why is he doing that? Because God gave him a revelation all of a sudden that abortion is okay and that homosexuality is okay? No, because it's not popular today, so we're going to change it so we can reach people. Interestingly enough, I was reading, now, you got to realize who this came from. I believe it was written by a lesbian. I was reading the news again, and she had gone to the Southern Baptist Convention and said that they had been able to talk to some of the leaders, and some of the leaders were leaning their direction. Now, realize who's saying this. I hope that's not true. It is true in a lot of places. Why? Let me ask you a question. Is God's word clear about homosexuality? Is the truth about homosexuality found in the Word of God? If you don't know, by the way, you can look at Romans chapter 1. That's a good place to look. Sure it is. But all of a sudden we have religious leaders who are saying, well, you know, I'm not your judge. Well, you're not, but God has already judged. He's already spoken. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going on all around us, folks. Why are they doing that? Paul said, when we came to you, we didn't use flattering words. We didn't shade the truth or change the truth so we could win you to be our followers. Folks, we're in trouble in America. We are going down the wrong path. And I know that we are criticized sometimes as a church because of the stand we take. But I'll tell you, folks, God's word hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And we need to stand on God's truth. Paul didn't change it. He didn't come in and say, look, you folks are Jews. I know that. You just keep on following the law and you add Christ, you'll be okay. He didn't do that. Okay? He said, look, there was no flattery. He gave the truth. By the way, John 17, 17, what does it say? Jesus speaking, he said, thy word is truth. Folks, look, if you're going to impact lives for Christ, you must give them the truth. This is where it starts. This is where it continues. This is where it ends. This is it, okay? Secondly, he said, we didn't have a cloak of covetousness. Now, what does the cloak do? It covers it up, doesn't it? He said, we didn't come to you with a desire to get stuff for us. And again, we could camp here all day. But folks, much of religion today, unfortunately, is a desire to get more power, to get more money. Again, if you don't believe me, if you've got religious broadcasting, just turn it on and watch it for a while. Paul said, we didn't come with selfish motives. Look, if you're going to change people's lives, you cannot do it, folks, to get something for you. Now, first of all, you'll drop out in a hurry, okay? Now, notice what else he didn't do in verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory. He said we weren't after honor. He said we weren't after exaltation. Again, folks, if you're in it for you, you're not going to have an impact. You're not going to be changing people's lives. Number one, you'll quit. Number two, they'll see right through it and they won't follow you. Look, folks, we should never do anything in the service for God for our own honor. You should never say, you know what, I'm going to bring somebody to church because John over here brought somebody to church and boy, they made a big deal about it. So I want to have a big deal made over me. And by the way, there were a couple that did that. Remember them? How did that end up for them? Not so well. Not so well. Ananias and Sapphira, they were taken out, weren't they? They said, we want to be like Barnabas. Barnabas gave all the money. If you're involved in service in the church, if you're in the choir, sing a solo, what are you doing it for? If you're involved in soul winning and you're reaching people for Christ, why are you doing it? By the way, here's how you know if you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you do it, and I think maybe Pastor said this a couple weeks ago, that was wonderful. If you do it and nobody pats you on the back and you get upset, guess what? You're doing it for the wrong reason. See? Now, I've asked Mike to sing tonight. So great illustration here. If Mike gets done singing and nobody says, boy, Mike, that was wonderful, he goes away mad. The problem is he did it for the wrong reason. Now, I can use that illustration because now he's not going to. You better not, not after that. You say, is that ever a temptation? You better believe it's a temptation. And somebody gets up to sing and all the people just, oh, that was so wonderful. You're so great. Oh, that was wonderful. And you get up to sing and nobody says a thing and you kind of slink off the platform. You're doing it for the wrong reason. Paul said, look, folks, when we serve God, we don't teach, we don't preach, we don't sing, we don't visit, we don't do whatever, we don't usher, we don't work in the nursery, we don't do all these things for our own glory. When you do something for God, folks, remember, our whole job is to do what? What's our whole purpose here? Glorify God, not us. Glorify God. Give people a right view of God. Paul said, look, when we came to you, we didn't do this for us. Why do you do what you do in the church? What's the motivation? Why are you trying to impact people's lives? So you can pray them down the aisle and say, here's my convert. Now, you got to be careful, folks. I tell you what, the flesh will sneak in a heartbeat. Paul said, look, I want you to know three things it wasn't. Not flattering words, didn't change the truth to reach people. He said, that did not occur. He said, look, we didn't do it to please men. We did it to please God. There was no covetousness here. There was no glory involved. We did it for him. But then notice on the positive side in verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth, say that 10 times fast, her children. He said, look, we were not that way, but we were gentle. We were not harsh or demanding. This week, my wife cooked a meal for Lindsay and Bob and the youngins. And we went over there and the baby, Paxton was sound asleep and she was holding him. And of course, after a little while, the magic words were said. Lindsay said to my wife, would you like to hold him? Of course, my wife's, oh, yes, please. Talk about tender. Talk about nourishing. I mean, that's what a mother's supposed to. That's what a mother does. And he said, when you're trying to reach people for Christ, that's how you need to be. Let me ask you a question. When you're trying to minister and disciple folks and help them, is it ever frustrating? Do you ever just want to sit them down and smack them across the face and say, boy, I wish you'd get your act together? I'll be honest. He said, you don't do that. And he said, no, we were tender. We were gentle. It's interesting. I was reading this morning. There is a church. It's one of these mega churches out in Washington called Mars Hill, which I thought was kind of strange that they would call it Mars Hill in the first place. And evidently, this is one of those churches where they have branches all over, I get kind of the West, it sounded like. And probably was kind of one of these churches where you have one guy who preaches and they have different chapels all over and you sit and watch him preach on TV. My feeling is, why even go to church? Why not stay home and watch it? That'd be a lot easier. But anyway, this guy just had to step down from his church because they said he bullied people and he was harsh and mean. That was interesting. Of course, they also said there were some questions about finances, and that may be the real reason. But you know what? In the ministry, when you're trying to influence people for Christ, he said you need to be gentle. Are there times, mothers, many of you are mothers, you've had children, were there times you wanted to wring your child's neck? Well, sure. But you didn't, I hope, because this morning, you didn't, because the mother is to be gentle and nurturing for the child. And he said, that's how you need to be toward folks that you're trying to win for Christ and to build up for Christ. You ought to be gentle. And then he gives another positive one here in verse 8. It says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And so Paul says, look, we gave you the gospel. By the way, if you love somebody who's lost, what's the greatest thing you can do for them? Give them the gospel. Give them the truth. And he said, we did that. We did that. But he said, you know what? We were willing also to give you our own soul, our own life. Let me ask you a question. When you're trying to influence people for Christ, can you do that by just giving them the gospel and say, hey, Lord bless you, see you later, hope you make it? Now, we have, and I'm not going to point them out this morning, but we have some people in this class who have made great impact on people's lives. And you know how they've done it? They've sacrificed their time, their money, their abilities to help new believers to grow. In fact, we have people in this class who've done that, and we have people in this class who have benefited from that. Both sides are evident in this class. And these folks have made an impact on people's lives, and they've changed those, they've seen those lives change and go on for Christ because they were willing to sacrifice often large amounts of money. There are things going on behind the scenes that this church, do you know nothing about, that people are giving and helping and helping and helping and helping. If you want to minister to somebody, you've got to say no to self, because it's going to take your time and your talents and your money to minister and help people, especially new believers. It's a tough job. But folks, I guarantee you one thing. These people I'm talking about who have done that, when they stand before the Lord and are judged for what they've done for him, do you think they're going to say, man, I wish I'd bought a newer car and quit helping people with my money? I wish I hadn't used my time to help all those people. I wish I hadn't used, you know, been so frustrated and going over there and picking them up and taking them to church and do all these things for them and helping them and all. I wish I hadn't. Oh, no. Oh, no. They'll say, boy, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd done more. Folks, Paul had impact on people's lives because he was gentle with them. He cared for them. He was sacrificial in caring for them. I tell you, when God calls you to work, folks, and you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. It's interesting. I was visiting Beth Rourke in the hospital this week. She is has been in Tanzania working at an orphanage. And she is home. She came home for a short furlough. And unfortunately, she's on a couple medications that counteracted each other and caused her to have blood clots in her lung. And she had no idea what was going on. They had the big reception last Saturday for her parents, or Sunday. And then Monday, she started having pain back through here. And she thought, well, you know, she has this sickness and it causes that kind of thing. And so she went and worked out, having no idea. And she sat down at lunch with Stephanie, and Stephanie said, your breathing is really shallow. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor, or urgent care, and they did some x-rays, and they said, we don't like what we see. And they sent her to the hospital, and they put her in intensive care, multiple blood clots in her lung. As you that are medical people know, that's not a good thing. And because of that, she'll probably have to stay here another 4 or 6 months till they get all the blood thinner and all that stuff worked out and get all that done. And she may never get to go back to Tanzania. And she said, when the doctor told me that, she said, I just sat there and cried. She said, I love my children. Now, only the Lord knows what's going to happen. It may be that she'll be able to go back, but the problem is, if she has a problem, medical care, you have to fly an airplane, which if you have blood clots in your lungs is not a good thing, or they have to drive over bumpy roads for miles, which is not a good thing either. Oh, God knows about that. But the thing that moved me was she was brokenhearted for her children. And she's willing to sacrifice everything to make a difference in their lives. Folks, Paul said, look, the reason that we had such an impact is we gave you the truth. Not for our own benefit. He said it wasn't for our glory. He said we were gentle among you and we cared for you. And we were willing to sacrifice everything for you. Now, folks, that's the kind of life that has an impact. Let me ask you a question. When you stand before the Lord someday as a believer, and you will, the Word of God says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to have? What will be in your hands? What have we done this week that we'll be able to present to Christ and said, Lord, I did this for you? The only way we're going to have impact on people's lives, folks, is if we are willing to sacrifice ourselves, not be concerned about us, and give our all to them. You say, well, you have to go to college. No, you don't. You say, well, you have to have a certain personality. No, you don't. You say, well, you have to have a certain IQ. Hallelujah, I'm glad that's not true. What do you have to do to impact people for Christ? You have to care. You have to sacrifice. You have to give them the truth. And when they receive the truth, you continue to work with them gently, sacrificially, to see God change their lives. This church at Thessalonica, folks, was a miracle church. It was a dramatic change because of the things that Paul did and his fellow workers did. We can look at it the negative side. Why are we not having impact? How much impact have you had in your neighborhood? How much impact have you had at your job? How much impact have you had in your family? How many people can you point to and say, you know what? I remember when I won them to Christ. Or I remember when they got saved and I came in contact with them and began to work with them, began to help them, began to disciple them, began to work in their life. And now here they are, they're in church and they're faithfully serving God and they're doing a great work for God and they're going on for God. Can you point to anyone? You say, Seaman, that really hurts. Well, it hurts me too. I think all of us need to do a spiritual checkup and say, Lord, who am I impacting for you? You say, well, Gary, I'm working 40, 50 hours a week and I'm taking care of my family. Well, that's good. You ought to do that. But is that it? I mean, let's bring it home where we live, folks. Who have you impacted for Christ this week? Say, well, I did a lot of stuff, you know. If you know how busy I was. I tell you what, you may be busy, but if you're a Vol fan, you stayed up till 11:30 last night watching the end of that game. That wasn't very nice, was it? I did too. But I could justify it because I knew the time was going to change. It was really only 10:30. I saw a preacher last this morning. He said, oh, I stayed over that game. He said, I couldn't sleep all night. He's funny. He said, if it hadn't been for that sleeping medication, he said, I would have never fallen asleep. Aren't you glad that really spiritual people are just like us, you know? Folks, we just need to get real, don't we? And I want to encourage you. Now, you can't go back and change last week. But let me ask you to pray this. Lord, this week, give me someone that I can impact for you. Since I've started teaching this, and I've mentioned this to you, but since I've started teaching this class on personal evangelism, my prayer each day is, Lord, give me somebody that I can at least give a tract to, but hopefully I can give the gospel to. You'd be amazed at the opportunities you have. I was picking up some flooring down here at ProBuild and was talking to the guy, and one of these composite decking boards I was buying was broken. And I said, hey, look, buddy, I'm not paying for that one. Not for as much as I'm paying for this. I had to sell two children just to buy this stuff, you know. And I said, you know, it's got all this warranty. When I die, it's not going to matter. I said, I'll go to heaven. It'll be totally different there. And I said, it'll have streets to go, but that's not really important. The more important thing is Christ is going to be there. And we're able to give the guy a witness. It's amazing what happens when you start looking for ways to impact people for Christ. Most of the time, we're just not looking, and we don't see him. Hey, I would love to be able to come back next Sunday and say, all right, tell me about people that you impacted for Christ. Not for your glory, but for his glory. Now, to do it, folks, we've got to give them the truth. And we have to do it gently, and we have to do it even if it costs us something. And then we have to give and give and give and give to help them grow in the Lord and meet them and help them. That's how Paul had an impact. How about you? How about you? Wouldn't it be great if we come back next week? I don't know how many are here, maybe 90, 100. Evangelistic speaking, 300-400 people here. Actually, we've got between 200 and 400, probably closer to 2, but anyway. Wouldn't it be great if we could all come back next week and I could start right here with my cupboard and I could say, Mike, who did you impact for Christ this week? And he said, on Tuesday, I got to talk to this guy and I went to Mark, and he's still traveling out of town. And he could say, I was traveling out of town and I got to deal with this guy Thursday night and give him the gospel on the airplane flying back or whatever. And I could talk to Lauren and she said, well, you know, I was here in Gray this week with my kids, but boy, I got to tell this one lady about them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now that will change Gray. That'll change Gray. Okay? The key word today is impact, all right? Who are you impacting for Christ? Let's be busy doing it this week, all right? Lord, we thank you for Paul's wonderful example. And Lord, help us as believers this week. God, give us opportunity. Lord, help us to be looking for opportunity. Help us to have great opportunity to impact for folks for Christ, seeing them saved, giving a witness, encouraging them in the Lord, helping them to get in church. Maybe there are men here in the military who have military buddies that are not in church. Lord, they could impact those men and women. Lord, help us, I pray, as we seek to do your work. Give us a heart for people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.